Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast, the not-so-PC PC Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
I'm super sick.
I'm Emilio. And the reason we're doing remotely, everything sounds weird. I have the COVID. It's almost a relief, dude. I don't have to worry about the boogeyman. He showed up and he's not that bad.
So once you get it, is it like you don't have to worry about getting it again? I know very little about it.
Well, fuck, dude. It seems like the brightest minds on Earth can't figure this thing out. And it just seems super weird. It doesn't make any sense. So the household that we got it from, she's like a family friend that lives at Sam's brother's house. She got it from whoever. Mm-hmm. And then she took care of, we've been super careful, but, you know, we went to one party for 2 hours and we had let her take care of the kids. Their kid got it. Sam's brother's kid got it, but they're fine. And then in our house, me and Sam are sick, but Mila doesn't have it. That doesn't make it, like, it's just, and then everybody feels different symptoms. It's strange. It's just a really strange sickness.
That's weird.
I think that's why. Yeah, I really think that's why, like, we can't put a foot, or, like, even doctors can't put it, there's no, like, solid, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. It's just strange. It's something novel, right? There's no precedent. I find myself looking over here because I'm going to move this around. All right. Because your face is over. What are you doing over there, Bobby? I got to move you over here. So, yeah, it just doesn't make sense. We have different symptoms, but yeah. So,
but you got tested, though, so you know 100% that you got it.
Yeah, yeah. That happened today. Testing was hard, man.
Yeah,
So, first of all, Google it, right? And then CVS is doing testing. No appointments. And then also, it's almost a catch 22. For most of these testing places, you need to have a recommendation from a doctor.
Yeah, like a doctor's note.
Yeah, but most hospitals won't see you unless you're like dying, like really bad, because mm-hmm. they want to free up room. So it's like a catch 22. Like you can't. There are a couple. We went to a place called the COVID Clinic, a very fly by night, like. You could tell that they put this together. It was somebody's just trying to make money, right? But they're filling a service. So it's just like somebody dropped off container box offices in a parking lot. You drive through, they come in, they swab your nose. They have a high-tech computer there, and they email you your shit within like 20 minutes. It's $150. And if you send the receipt to your insurance company, they fully reimburse it. But yeah, that's how it is. As far as the sickness, man, strange. Like I would say, if you've ever had the flu hard enough where like your bones start to ache and your muscles start to ache, there's a little bit of that. Sam got it pretty bad. Like she was, and then. The thing that persists is if I do a little bit of physical activity, I'm pretty out of it. Like if I throw the ball for Jocko maybe 20 times, I'm like, ah, fuck. Like I got to not do this anymore. So that's the thing that persists. Nothing really bad, nothing terrible. Mm-hmm. The worst thing was last night. I started getting chest pains late at night right before bed. Almost like a tightness in my chest. And whenever you feel something like that, you almost get up in your own head about it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, fuck. Am I dying? But which makes it worse. It compounds the problem. But no, not that bad. It really isn't. I've had flus way worse than this. So, yeah.
Well, hopefully the worst of it is behind you. And you're not too sick to play video games. And I assume you're going to be taking some time off of work because of this.
Yeah, luckily my company is paying for my entire time off, and I'm taking at least 2 weeks off until I get cleared by a doctor, I guess.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna fucking do my taxes from 2018, and then
get that out of the way.
Yeah, at 2019, and then play a hell of a lot of video games. Well, probably clean up. So, if you guys are watching the stream, or if you're not, most people don't. It's a good time to like just hop over and go to Twitch and or YouTube and watch the video, just so you can see. I've already mentioned this to Bobby, but this is like the exemplification of each other, our lives and our whole thing. If you look at Bobby's screen, it's white and it's black. He has three items behind him. He has a couch, a TV, and a bed. That's it. If you look behind me, I've got 700 items all piled on top of each other. It's just utter chaos behind me.
Yeah, it's pretty wild back there. You got a lot of bric-a-brac.
Sure.
Oh, man. Well, that is crazy, dude. Hopefully, like I said, hopefully the worst of it's behind you, and it's just the road to recovery now.
Dad, you got any questions? I guess you already asked everything.
Yeah. But before we get started with the show, we've got Controlled Pairs. He's been on before. He's going to come in and talk to us about a charity that's going on. What's up, Control? Are you there?
Hey, what's up, guys? Can you hear me?
Yep. What's going on, man? You know what? I think the stream you're trying to share actually isn't going to work because of the layout I have set up. Whoa, we lost him. Where'd he go?
Here we go. And it starts. Oh. It was looking so good.
Present. What's up, guys?
There
we
go. Okay. There we go.
Yeah, I don't think the video that you had prepped was going to work out, but that's okay. I've actually got some of the pictures you had sent me here.
Okay, great.
Regarding this. So why don't you tell us what this is all about?
Yeah, man. Well, thanks for having me back. I was here super recently, but you guys are awesome. Appreciate the invite. And Emilio, glad that you and your family's symptoms seem to be pretty minor, man, and wish you the best in your recovery.
Thanks, man. And thanks for saving the show. I came in, I'm like, my family's dying. It's looking really grim. Controlled Pairs, take it over. You know, it's not very fair of us to like just drop this on you, but yeah, be super entertaining and funny, man.
Dude, I'm on it. The, I guess like the segue is, I guess what we're able to do with this charity event in Postscriptum, is, you know, related to COVID to a certain extent. I guess the short version of the story, and I'll kind of just sling it at you, and then you can ask a question or two if you're interested. But there's a museum in the Netherlands called the Hartenstein, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it, but the Hartenstein Airborne Museum, located in a town called Oosterbeek. Basically, the museum is responsible for curating artifacts and the story and history of the veterans who participated in Operation Market Garden in World War II. All right, got it. So that's all like history nerd stuff. However, the game that we talked about last time I was here, Postscriptum, which is a World War II tactical shooter simulation, actually takes place hugely in a majority of the game. In fact, like multiple maps take place in the Netherlands, and one map in particular takes place in Oosterbeek, where this museum is at. And this museum kind of fell on hard times. So the COVID crisis hit, and they were in a lot of trouble. They had just done a bunch of renovations and spent a lot of money, and they were expecting to make back that revenue over the course of the year. COVID hit, obviously no revenues coming into the hotel, and they were at risk of potentially closing. And so a member of the Postscriptum community, one of our, you know, community clans called Easy Company, reached out to the museum and then reached out to the broader Postscriptum community and managed to kind of organize this charity event. Where a bunch of streamers, content creators, members of both Postscriptum and another game called Hell Let Loose, which is similar and kind of covers the same sort of historical time frame, we're all able to raise money and contribute to this effort. And they've, you know, managed to raise like 13K euros on the GoFundMe page. So it's been a pretty significant event. And I guess the cool part too is PC Gamer picked it up and talked about it. It's got spread kind of widely. And yeah, man, it was also the first time I had ever streamed, like ever. And Sniper stopped by for a little bit. So it was pretty cool, man. And yeah, it was super successful and kind of a good feel good story about gamers coming together to do some good stuff for each other in a pretty challenging time.
Wow. Now, how is the money being raised exactly?
So there's several ways. The obvious one is the GoFundMe page, which has been the most effective. But interestingly, like there's some Postscriptum lore here where the developers had this hoodie that was floating around their offices. And the community has been like asking for PostScript and merchandise for months and months and months, and they've never delivered. But there's apparently just like this one hoodie left over at Periscope Games that was an official developer hoodie that they auctioned off on eBay, and a player ended up buying it for like over $1,000. So like that was part of it. Yeah, man. And so like just across the board, people have been super generous in a time when it, you know, may not be easy to be generous. It's been pretty cool.
Awesome.
That's awesome, man.
Cool. I'm surprised you've never streamed before. That's surprising to me. As much YouTube content as you make.
It was fun, man. I like in the past, the reason I haven't done it is I just can't commit to a schedule, and I don't want to like get in the habit of trying to be, you know, streaming at specific times and then not being able to deliver for the people who expect it. But it was a lot of fun, and getting to like talk to the audience right away, especially for such a cool cause, was pretty cool. One of the guys who hangs out in my Discord like came in with like $100 donation out of nowhere in the middle of the stream. So like it was cool, man. Like the energy was awesome. And yeah, it was really fun to be a part of it for sure.
Nice. I'm curious, did you show your actual face during the stream?
No chance, brother.
No chance. What is, man, you're the mystery man, dude. I'm more intrigued. I almost want to tip you just to show. It's like the opposite of a cam girl, dude. I want to tip you just like to see your face, dude.
I was joking with my wife earlier. I told her I was coming back on the podcast, and I was going to have to like show up with like a plague doctor mask or something on camera, but she talked me out of it. But the if you're looking at these pictures Bobby's shown on screen, so like there's a screenshot of like actually the community in game standing in front of this building. And then there's also a picture of that same building after the battle for Oosterbeek, where like, you know, it's all war torn and tore up.
Jeez.
And then there's another picture of the museum today. So that building that was part of the battle is actually where the museum is today. And then there's also that same exact building rendered in the game. That we fought and defended over like as part of this event. And so I, you know, spent a little some time kind of compositing the images together and managed to mesh them into a single image. So you can actually see how close like the in-game render is to reality. And it was kind of a cool way to overlay history, you know, into the digital space and kind of just made the event that much more special. So like the perimeter we defended was the same like lines that were there historically. And in a game full of like history nerds and, you know, military simulation nerds, like it was a dream come true, you know? It was pretty wild, man.
Oh, that's awesome. I'll have to check that out.
This is all great, great news, man. And I'm sure that 13K is going to at least keep them afloat for a little while.
Yeah. And Go ahead.
What more can people do to help out?
Yeah, so the GoFundMe is it's still open. The all you have to do is I guess I probably should have prepped a link for you guys, but we can make sure it gets into the show notes.
Absolutely.
There's a GoFundMe that's still active. That's the easy way to contribute. I think it might be up over 13K now. And yeah, absolutely. If anyone's still willing or able to contribute, it would be well received and go to a great cause.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely get that link and we'll put it in the description below. So if you're listening, you can just scroll down and check that out. We'll link it on the YouTube video as well. But that's incredible, man. That's a great example of just, you know, how gamers can do some good.
Yeah, for sure, man. And once again, thank you guys for coming and letting me brag about, you know, the community surrounding PostScriptum. Pretty awesome game. And for anyone who hadn't heard of the game, a few episodes back, we talked a little bit about it. If you're a history nerd and you like World War II and tactical shooters, come hang out.
Yeah, grab it while it's on sale, while we still got some time left on the Steam summer sale.
For sure. Great point.
All right, man. Well, thanks so much for coming in and telling us about that.
Guys. Man. I'll see you guys later. Thanks.
All right. See ya.
Clown Lotion says, okay, we all need to pitch in and get Bobby some posters.
Really? I don't know. I kind of like that austere look.
It's like a cell, almost. Like a really nice cell.
Yeah, yeah, a real upscale cell. If I had to be imprisoned, this is definitely where I want to be. Okay, yep. We've got the link. Sniper found the link for that GoFundMe. He put it in Twitch chat there. That is really cool.
But we're also going to have it in the podcast description or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Sounds good. Let's get to the show here. This has been kind of a hit and miss week for me as far as gaming goes. So I haven't been able to play that many games because I've been working so much, but I have been able to listen to a lot of audiobooks. I The work that I'm doing right now is basically assembly line. Like I sit at a desk, I do the same thing for 8 hours, get a break and a lunch, and that's about it. So I've just been putting in the earbuds and grinding through a lot of audiobooks. And one of those was a book that I picked up on the recommendation of one of our listeners. I can't remember which listener it was, but the book is Stay a While and Listen. And this is a book that outlines it talks about the development of Diablo 1. I had a tough time connecting with this book because I never played the first Diablo. I didn't even really play the second Diablo. I didn't even get involved with Diablo until the third one came out, played it a little bit, really didn't get into Diablo until maybe 2 years ago, actually. It might have been when I really started grinding hard. So this book, like, I didn't recognize a lot of the names. And, you know, believe it or not, like, everyone thinks Blizzard, Diablo, right? But actually, Diablo was created by a company called Condor that was bought by Blizzard, you know, sometime in the mid-90s. Now Blizzard bought them, and they renamed them Blizzard North. And they gave them some really good input. They said, hey, it can't be turn-based. It's got to be real-time. And it's got to be, and they helped them a lot with the net code a lot, or making it multiplayer. And this is back in the 90s when that wasn't very common. And they told them you should make it free as well. So, you know, Blizzard actually was pretty important in the process of creating that game. And kind of, you can attribute a lot of success to the original Blizzard team. But still, like, the book reads more like an account of everything and not so much, it doesn't really paint a picture or create much of a interesting story like Masters of Doom did. I don't know. I didn't enjoy it as much as Masters of Doom, but it was still a good read. Like, if you're a big Diablo fan, I'm sure this would be crazy. You know, my biggest issue with it is not even because of the book, but more with Audible. Have you ever listened to Audible before? You must have listened to, like, something on Audible, right?
Yeah, of course. I don't like, and I've never understood, the way they charge for things. I guess you buy credits every month. You sign up, and then for whatever amount of money, you get X amount of credits, and then you can spend those credits for audiobooks. I've been charged for years, and I very rarely download, and I've tried to cancel it many times because I very rarely, maybe two or three a year, maybe I'll listen to. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I like the service. I like how it works. I like that you could jump from one device to another, but as far as, like, canceling it, good luck, dude.
Well, I use my girlfriend's account. So.
Yes, I know. Yes.
Yeah. I thought that was just like a feature that she had. Because when I look at books, it says, like, you can buy this book for $20 or you can use one credit. And she gets, like, a certain amount of credits every month. So I just figured that was whatever plan she had chosen. But I don't know. But my biggest beef with Audible is they always do funny voices. Then the person that they have reading the book is always like, some books it's not so bad. It kind of bugged me in the Saturday Night Live book, like, huge, long book, the whole history of Saturday Night Live, like all 40, 45 years of it. And they kind of did voices, like, try to match accents of certain people. And I was like, okay, that's kind of a little weird. This book, though, Stay a While and Listen. There's two of these books, by the way. I listened to Stay a While and Listen book one. This one, though, like, I don't know, man. Some of these voices were ridiculous. One of the guys, the narrator did, like, a Bill and Ted kind of accent. Like, it was a little over the top. The Japanese guy, he does, like, this George Takei accent. I don't know. It was kind of like a personal problem I had with it. I'm sure a lot of other people didn't mind it so much, but it bugged me. But the book itself, like I said, if you're into Diablo, it's probably worth checking out. And if the reason why I like Masters of Doom so much is because it talks about John Romero and John Carmack, and it kind of talks about PC gaming in general. Like, that's the story of, like, really PC gaming as we know it, like modern PC gaming being born and them creating it. And it really paints a picture. Like, it tells a really, it could be a movie. In fact, they're making a TV show out of it. This book, it just felt like an account of everything. It's just like this happened and then this happened and then that happened, which, you know.
A history book.
Yeah.
Or like, almost like a documentary slice version of a book.
Yeah. Book, like, it was like a court reading almost. Oof. But still, it helped pass the time, and it was pretty cool. There were some cool things that they talked about in the book. I can't seem to remember them off the top of my head here. Let's see. I made some notes. No, I talked. They talked a little bit about Warcraft 1 and 2, like a little bit about it, but not much, because that mostly had to do with the original Blizzard company. But it was a pretty good read. And I got one other game to talk about, but why don't you talk about something here?
I guess the thing that I played the most this week was Biped. That is a build from the ground up two-player co-op game. And, you know, dude, the more, it's almost like a snowball. The more I use remote play, the more I use it. Like, I'm just realizing how much you can really do with this. Mm-hmm. Even to the point where last night, Chad, me, and John, JP Diddy, were playing Trine 3, and JP's like, oh, I have this game. Let me install it. And I was like, well, let's see how good the remote play together is. And then if it's bad, you know, you can install it. But there was no need. You know, Chad didn't have the game. He did, but it didn't matter. And I invited both of them. And we played Trine 3, and it was fine, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe something that was, like, very Twitch, like if you need like milliseconds of response time, it's not going to be the greatest thing. But we
like this though,
yeah, for trying it was great. And then also for Biped, you know, it's a it's pretty hilarious. We were laughing out loud quite a bit throughout this whole thing. So it makes you feel like you're playing Portal 2, a co-op, but with completely different puzzles. It's more platforming puzzles, if you could even say that. It's hard to say that because there's no jumping, but it is platforming puzzles. Mm-hmm. But the reason that it feels like Portal is because you're playing two little robots. One's a square one, one's a round one, and you have two legs and no arms, and it's intended to be played with the controller. And your right stick is your right leg, and your left stick is your left leg. And so it's a little fumblecore-y from that. And you can skate around kind of like an ice skater if you want, but when you're doing puzzle portions, you have to go right, left, right, left, right, left. So it's almost like taxing on your thumbs for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that's why they space it out, the puzzle portions. And, man, we had a fucking fantastic time with this game. It's $11.09 right now. It comes from Next Studios. We beat it in one sitting, whatever that took. Probably 3 hours or so. There's a lot more content. Every level has two more versions of itself, and they don't resemble the first one. So it's just like additional content. I think all it is the same kind of content, a little bit harder without the story. So we beat the story mode, basically, is what it was. And man, they have a lot of cool little mechanics. Like every time you thought you saw everything this game was going to have, I know it was only 3 hours, but like the new mechanics kept coming in all the time and kept us really... you know, it was mm-hmm. novel and fun and kept us entertained.
You weren't streaming it, but it was on, you were sharing your screen while on Discord and playing it. Mm-hmm. So I had a chance to check out a little bit of it as well as some other people that were on Discord. And it looked like a lot of fun. Were you guys drunk when you were playing? Because it seemed like it was taking you a little while to figure out some of these puzzles.
Hey, man. No, we weren't. But we started drinking at some point, but no. Okay. It's really, so it's fumblecore, and then you're also have to synergize with your teammate. So mm-hmm. first of all, it's hard to control in the first place, and then second of all, you have to synergize and get everything step by step in time with your cohort. And so there's a lot of, I mean, you die constantly. In a 40-second span, you could die 20 times just because, you know, it's just going to happen until you get your rhythms down.
Yeah. There's no penalty for dying, though, is there?
Zero. So they knew that this game was hard, and so we kept yelling at each other, "This is a kid game. Get your shit together," you know. But man, there were so a couple things that stick out. So there's a part where you have two rafts and they're tied together by a string, and you have to save other rafts by getting them in the little cradle. And but you can't just push right and you go right. You have to actually walk right stick, left stick, right stick, left. You know, you got to keep your rhythm up and march. Basically, you're marching with your controller. And then and also on top of that, you got to get the right directions, and you have to be constant communication with your teammate to try to get where you're trying to go. That one really stuck out. And then there's these cylinders that you have to. Man, one person has to. It's kind of like a log roll, or what is that called? A log game, log balance. You know what I'm talking about?
You're trying to balance on a log.
Yeah, and then they run on it and it spins. So that's mm-hmm. how one person controls the other guy's cylinder, and then the other guy's cylinder is a maze basically, and so one guy is turning his cylinder to turn the maze one so that the other guy. So. Obviously, yeah, that's one of the times where we died 20 times in 40 seconds. But I can recommend this. Is like, if you have a friend, if you have one friend, you probably don't follow the LG. But if you do have a friend, this is definitely good. It's a tough call to play with a kid. Like, I don't think you'll ever get through with like a kid. There's no way, I don't think.
Yeah, it seems difficult. I mean, not for a gamer, but for like a newcomer.
Mm-hmm. But it was a ton of fun. $11 for 3 hours of fun. There's probably another 3 hours of content in there. But, you know, we moved on to something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty good. Remote play really coming in handy there.
Dude, I've been playing it all week. So I used that. I used it for Trine. That was really good. And I tried to get an 8-player game of Mount Your Friends going. But we played some Golf It, of course, instead.
Mm-hmm. Wait, Trine 4?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Trine 4, yeah. Cool. Works great for Trine 4.
Nice. That'd be a good game for it, too. Didn't even think of that.
Yep. Also, I played Bloons TD 6. This was on that list of things that are over 80% off and have like 90% off or 90% or better. And this has like a 96 or a 92, like, and I just don't get it, dude. It's a tower defense game. It's got monkeys and you're popping balloons. Great, fine. I think I have to put more time into it. I've put 2 hours into it. I don't see 96 anywhere near this. Like, it has microtransactions. You don't have to, you can just play the game and you'll get everything anyway naturally. Mm-hmm. But they're still there, and they're it's not bugging you about it, but just the fact that they're in there makes me feel like, am I hurting myself playing these games without spending money, or spending playing these levels without spending money? Like, is this harder than it should be because I didn't spend any money on it? You know what I mean? You just never know what the balance there with difficulty is. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's cute and all, but
is it a tower defense game? What is this?
Yeah, it's a tower defense game.
Okay.
You know, the graphics aren't that great. It's just a cartoony, not that great of cartoony. Yeah. It reminds me of Go Home, Get Dinosaurs.
Yeah, I was going to say, really, it looks like a lot like Go Home Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Both visually and the gameplay.
Yeah. Tons and tons of different of towers, or they're monkeys. And I really like that when you upgrade them, whatever upgrade you have, you could visually see it on the character, which I always thought was really cool. Like, for instance, you have a sniper. You give him night vision goggles, then he turns blue. Then you give him like exploding shots, then he has a little explosion symbol on his hat. And then that just keeps going down the line. You just keep upgrading them. Yeah, man, maybe I got to put more in time, but I don't see the 96%, especially with microtransactions. Yeah. I think Defensive Grid is probably, for me, the best tower defense game on Steam still.
Well, you only spent $1 on it, so no big loss. Yeah,
I was going to return it, dude, and I was like, all right, it's 99 cents. What the fuck? tell me about the game that I bought you for like $4.
Well, I was going to say about Bloons TD 6, you know, it's possible that I was wondering if you had found out what the reason was that the reviews were so positive. I scrolled down, but I couldn't really find anything very conclusive because the game that you had bought me, Reseteer, an item shop's tale, that has really good reviews as well. And I scrolled down to the reviews to see why, and it's a lot of people referencing a YouTuber, Seth, I think is how you pronounce it. I'm probably messing that up. But this has happened before where I think it was with Hypercharge Unboxed. Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
That's the name of the game? Yeah. Oh, no, Synthetic. That was the game, Synthetic. Got a lot of publicity because this one YouTuber played the game, really talked it up, and then all the Steam reviews, you could see everybody referencing that. So kind of the case here with the reviews on this. This is not a bad game. It's an item shop game, which I didn't even know was a category of games. I've played Moonlighter, and I really enjoyed that one. And this is...
That's why I bought you this one, yeah.
Yeah, this is similar very, in
very
everywhere.
Quickly. It bothered me so much that I did look at, like, I reviewed or tried to find why the reviews were so good. And I was seeing, because a lot of games will like give you in-game credit or something if you give a 5-star review. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, did they do something like that for Steam? Like if you leave us a positive review on Steam, then you get whatever, a special monkey. And I couldn't find anything of the sort. So maybe I just don't like monkeys. I don't know what it is. Anyway.
That may be. So this game, Reseteer, it came out in 2010. It's an old game and it's made for a console. Like this game straight up opened in a window, a 4x3 window, no less. And the graphics were very old. They were very, very Japanese, right? It looked like what I remember from a lot of old Final Fantasy games back when I used to play those. There is a lot of Japanese squeaking in it, you know, that kind of, you know.
What is Japanese squeaking, dude?
I don't know if there's a video here, but I should have cued some audio. But, you know, it's like anime where the girls are like, you know, like that kind of stuff, you know, like everything that you do, like prompt some sort of audio like that. So the game's very Japanese, you know, that's not really like a genre I'm really into, but still like I can dig it. The game's pretty good. It's just completely overshadowed by Moonlighter. Moonlighter is just better in every way. But the fact that this game came out 10 years ago, if I had played this game 10 years ago, would have totally gotten hooked. I did end up putting a good amount of time into it, you know, about 4 hours. One key difference that they do differently here, I don't know if I like it or not, but it's just kind of different. So in Moonlighter, you can go at your own pace. You know, you can play the long game. You can sell items in your shop, go to the dungeon, wait till the price goes up on items, you know, really play the long game there. This game, though, Reseteer, it's more like Wall Street Kid, where after 1 week, something's due. Rent is due. So you have to have made 10,000 picks as the currency in this game. The next week, 30,000. The week after that, 80,000. So you can't really wait for, like, shields or swords to go back up in price so you can sell them. Like, you've really just got to like move items as fast as you can. I don't know if I like that as much, but it kind of, it forces you through the game. Now, if you fail the game though, if you lose, it just sends you back to the beginning. You still have all the items. You still have all the experience that you've gained on both your item shop salesman and your dungeon adventurer. So you start off your next playthrough with a big advantage. You reset all your money. So that's cool. The name is kind of weird. I was wondering about that, and Kurt is asking about it in chat. Reseteer, I think I'm pronouncing it right, but it's the combination of two characters in this. The owner of the shop is Reset, and her little fairy friend that follows her around and kind of gives her advice on what to do is called Tear. So it's a combination of their two names. When you do go into the dungeon, you play as a completely different person, and you can unlock other people to play into the dungeons. That's kind of cool. Plus, there's boss fights in the dungeons. I mean, I guess Moonlighter had that. Moonlighter had everything this game has. It just did it better, and it looks better. But it's a newer game. You know, it came out like 8 years later, so you can't really blame it too much. It's not bad. And for $4, like, yeah, that's a pretty good deal. I was reminded of Moonlighter when I played this, and I went and checked their Steam page. It turns out that they have DLC for Moonlighter now. But according to what I read about the DLC for Moonlighter, it's not really like more content that you can play after you beat the game. It's like content that gets, it's like more monsters in the dungeons, more items that you can sell. It kind of seems like they just filled out the original game rather than adding like a second chapter. You know what I'm saying?
So you would have had to play the game again to
exactly.
get all
that shit. Yeah. I would have had to play the game again. And I don't know. Like, I remember beating Moonlighter and being like, I'll never play this game again. I mean, it's totally okay. I had a great time playing this game, really enjoyed it, but I have no desire to play it again. I feel like I've done 100% of the things I wanted to do in this game. So,
cool.
So, yeah, well, I mean, Resetir, pretty good.
Yeah, it's just dated.
Yeah, it's just old. It's old. Plus, I think it's meant to be played with a controller. I had to use the arrow keys, and like the enter or select key was Z. Like Z, W, E. Like the keys were very weird. It was definitely meant for a console, but you know, I made it work.
It was worth $4 for that review. Thanks, man.
Yeah, totally.
So I also played Everspace 2, the demo. We were talking about it last week or a couple of weeks ago when all these demos came out. It's like you can do a demo really well, or you could just kind of like have a little piece of the game that you play. And this kind of just threw you into like a sandbox, you know, you just jump in, you can pick from like 4 different spaceships, and then you just go out in the world. And I mean, it looks fucking phenomenal. Just like the first game, it probably even better. And the combat's just the same. This is like a space exploration. I would say it's more arcadey, way more arcadey. If you know how to play Half-Life, you know how to control this ship. Like
more arcadey than the first game.
No, more arcadey than most of these like space exploration or space combat games. I feel like it's probably one of the best things they have going for them. If I want to do it, I don't even have to think about how I do it. It's just, this is how games are played on PC, you know, like shift is for boosters and up goes up, and I don't know. It's just the best controls ever. Not simulation at all, and it works. You can barrel, you can strafe, you can. It all just seems very, very intuitive to me. It's perfect in that sense. As far as the demo, though, like I didn't know what I was doing. There's no missions. It was just kind of like they threw you out in space and no job, and just go around and kind of shoot things. The big difference that I noticed, and they've talked about it, is they got away from the roguelike mechanic, which, you know, that's not good for me. Like
that was like the whole fulcrum of the first game, right? That was
so now it's more just like I think like an RPG. Go out or earn your money, upgrade your ships, and explore open world. I don't know too much about it. Again, like just kind of dropped you in. No story, no space, and then the story, people were talking down at the bottom of the screen. It was like a cartoony character. It wasn't voice acted. And a lot of the time there was just too much going on the screen. It was like a action movie with subtitles. There's too much going on the screen for me to be reading what's going on at the bottom. Mm-hmm. For a game like this, you definitely need voice acting, because you can't read and shoot at the same time.
Yeah. Voice acting is something I've come to appreciate so much in games, because you really notice when it's not there. But I remember when you talked about the first Everspace, and when you played it, I think it was in early access and it didn't have the story in yet. And then you came back to this game several times and eventually they had put that in, right?
Yeah. I will never forget this. It was like 1.0 patch notes. First line, inserted the story. I think it was like 3 words, inserted the story. It's just like, now, you know, you would think that they would have elaborated on that a little bit, like after years of writing and all this stuff, we finally have the story. No, inserted the story.
story inserted.
Yeah. But yeah, they put a story in there. It was something about like the reason it was a roguelike is because there was, you, your home base kept making clones of you. Like, and so you would start as a clone and go out until you solved the mystery of whatever it was that was doing it. I didn't play it very much after the story was inserted. I could really, really recommend Everspace 1. Everspace 2, I don't know yet. I'd have to play. I think I'll probably pick it up. It's probably be a $30 game.
That's how much the first one was?
If I remember right. Maybe even 20.
Yeah, 20 or 30, I think.
This is like exemplifies like a two double A content for me. Like I feel like this is exactly a double A developer.
Yeah. Well, that's a good price point for double A, $20-$30.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. All right. What about Dreamscaper?
So Dreamscaper was another demo. Let me find it here.
Wow. And their release date, they put the little flames there. Do you see that?
Yeah. August. Fire, baby.
Wow.
So this is a action roguelike, a la Binding of Isaac, you know, like randomly generated levels. You're a person that's dreaming. So every night you go to bed and you go into this world. And there's a lot of like dream type things in it, you know, like one of the ranged weapons is finger guns, you know, like, and you could upgrade them. But also there's a bow and arrow and there's a slingshot and stuff. But there's a lot of things that are based and that imagination based. Right. And it was cool. You know, the graphics aren't, they're not going to blow you away, but there's a lot of like mysterious little things that you see, like shadows of like your parents and stuff. You walk up to them, they disappear and you're wondering what's going on there. And you go from this stage to stage. And I was like, you know, I've seen this before. Nothing here is blowing me away. There's so many action roguelikes out there now. But then I died. And you go into the regular world. You wake up, right? So you're in your apartment. And you can do a few things. You can go around your apartment and do a tiny little bit of things. But also you can go outside of your apartment and go to different locations. So a location would be like a coffee shop, a bookstore, the bar, right? Mm-hmm. You go there and it takes a certain amount of your day because you spend a lot of your time sleeping and dreaming. It takes you so long to get to the bar. Once you're there, you start chatting up people, just whatever, building relationships. At certain points, they talk back to you and you get like a novel idea in your head. Like somebody might talk to you about whatever it might be, their job. And then when you go back to dreaming, new items are in your game based on the things you've unlocked in dialogue with the people in real life. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So when you go into this dream world, it's not like a shadow version of the real world, right? It's a completely separate area.
I'm not 100% sure because I have gone through like and got to the playground, and where you start off seems to be your childhood home, but in the real world you seem to be living in the city, like it seems like a metropolitan place. So it's not the same place, but it definitely seems like your dream world is based on your childhood or something like that. So they're not the same, but it is based on reality. The first boss was really cool. I had a good time with it.
So there's actually, I'm not really seeing much combat in the gameplay here.
It's all combat, actually. I mean, there's not much more to it.
Yeah, there's some.
Yeah, it's combo based. I mean, it's fine. It's not like I wasn't blown away with it by the combat, but I was intrigued, and this is maybe something I would pick up. Yeah.
All right.
I really like the part where things that happen in your life are manifested in your dreams. It's a good way of making a roguelike. Like the thing of the clones has been done a million times, or Binding of Isaac that doesn't explain anything. It's just like all chaos and fucking dead babies. But this one, it makes sense, you know?
Yeah. So how were you able, you played the demo of this game?
Uh-huh. And it's a good demo. I would recommend that you play it.
It doesn't seem like it's available on the Steam page anymore.
Oh, it might have just been for that event that they were having.
Yeah, they might have taken it down. Well, it says the release date is going to be August 2020, so not that far away. No price as of yet. Afterburner Studios, not familiar with them.
Nor I.
All right, that looks good.
No price tag either.
All right, well, it's time for On the Radar, but before we do that, let's say thank you to some people here. We got a lot of thank yous to dish out. First of all, new patron, Pharaoh Steve. Thank you so much, man. He's been around for a while, but he's kind of making a comeback.
Yeah, he his job or his industry got hit pretty hard by the shutdown. Mm-hmm. So he's now making money again, and he resubscribed as soon as he was able to. And dude, that like means so much. Not only were you a fan and were subscribed and stuff before, but like as soon as you're able back on the bicycle, you came right back. That's amazing.
That's awesome, man. We appreciate the support. All right, we've got
dying.
We've got a Twitch sub from Trashzilla. I think this is his first month. I'm not 100% sure, but according to our log, that's what it looks like, man. And this guy, dude, he doesn't speak out much, but this guy has contributed a lot to the show.
Yeah, man. So we got these silent contributors that like we don't hear. They don't talk much, but they talk with their money.
Yeah, they let their money do the talking.
Yeah.
There is a scoreboard on our website, and he is at number one. Not to brag, but yeah, he is at number one there. All right, who else we got? JD Constrictions, JP Diddy just subscribed again for 18 months. 18 months.
That's crazy, dude.
That's two babies right there.
It's two babies.
That's how we count them, man. Every 9 months. Oh boy. And then Cricket Soldier, he gifted a bunch of subs. Gifted 5 subs. Thanks for doing that, man. Awesome.
Thank you, dude.
All right. And I know we had some more here. Recycled 23 months. 23 months. You know, I looked up our, because you automatically subscribe to your own channel, right? So it lets you know how old your channel actually is or when you could start accepting subscriptions. And I think it's at 25 or 26 months. So I don't know if there's anybody who has that many, but Recycled's definitely up there for one of the longest ones.
Listen to this, dude. So John said literally two babies, right? Because he had one baby throughout that. And he said his wife got the DLG bump.
Oh, boy. That puts a whole new spin on it.
Oh, and I thank you, M. Pilaf, man. Like, I was streaming a little bit for my birthday. I hope we changed the header. We did, right?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, good. While I was doing that, he came in and gifted like 4 subs. So thank you to MP Love.
Oh, nice. So
I love that my nephew is supporting me financially. Should be the other way around.
That is cool, man. A lot of support this month. Really appreciate it, guys.
Let's get on the radar, yeah?
Yep. Bringing that up right now. First game. Ooh, this is going to be a big hit. There's a new Worms game. So they teased it a while ago on Twitter, but they've now announced it. It's got a Steam page. You can go check it out. And it looks like it's not actually going to be like those turn-based games you remember. It's going to be like a 2.5D brawler in real time. It's called Worms Rumble. Let me roll the video.
Like a Smash Brothers clone?
No. Okay, so imagine just the normal Worms map, right? Except it's 2.5D. I don't think you can actually move along a Z-axis, but it's like a 3D representation of it. And you're moving in real time, no more turn-based. You have all the same weapons, all the same actions, but it's happening all at the same time. So you're running around and shooting each other with shotguns and holy hand grenades and sheep and all your missiles. It'll be really interesting. I don't know if Worms has ever done this before. They've always, I mean, there's like 20 Worms games, right? I remember playing those back in the 90s, but I don't think they've ever gone away from the turn-based.
32 players too, man.
Oh yeah.
That's, I think that's players. New too.
Yep.
Lots, yeah.
Lots of customizations, of course.
I mean, I've seen a lot of games that are like this, especially like web browser games, but you know, this is carrying the Worms name, so I think it'll definitely have a big initial player base. It all depends how much they charge for this, and it has a battle royale mode too, which with 32 players, that's just basically a knockout mode, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I think
that looks cool.
Yeah, it looks. I don't know, man. It's a weird jump for them to take. Like, I'll definitely check it out. There's no price point as of yet, I believe. But that just seems like such an honor. They
probably got just tired of making the same shit over and over, you know?
Yeah, and they kind of were. I mean, we all got hooked on Worms Armageddon, I think it was, a little while ago, and we were playing that all over the Discord. But I noticed a lot of new things in that. Of course, they keep on adding new weapons and just like they added vehicles, which was something new, and turrets that you could man and all these other things. So they were kind of improvising a little bit on the formula, but this is like a drastic shift. I don't know. I guess you got to do it at least one time. What I'm wondering is how hard would it be to make a mode that is still turn-based? Like, why couldn't you have both?
Yeah, it seems like it would be a step down from something like this, right? Why couldn't you have both modes in one game?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
You think this will be free to play?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Because like cosmetics wouldn't really matter because your character's so small. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, you just have like an end game screen where they show up, you know, like first place, and you do a little dance move or whatever, and it's all zoomed in. I don't know.
Maybe.
Well, it says
that the worm right now. I just saw that worm that I just saw. It was wearing a Godzilla costume, so. Maybe there is cosmetics. That looks sweet. The other one's an ice cream cone.
No, that's a unicorn, dude.
Oh.
It's got like a little tooth, or it's sticking its tongue out. It's like
delirious with the COVID. Are you really going to argue with me, dude?
You've seen all sorts of stuff. This map looks amazing, though, dude. This is like a mall.
Yeah.
And it's got a nuclear warhead underneath it that I'm guessing.
Why wouldn't it, dude?
Why not, man? Isn't that what was going on in one of those Stranger Things episodes or seasons?
Something similar. Yeah, there was a Russian base.
Yeah, underneath the mall. Yeah, this looks wild. I wouldn't be surprised if this was free to play. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm saying no.
Well, release date's 2020, so we don't have to wait too long to find out. All right. Next up is Night Vision. This is a roguelike driving game, which I got to say, I didn't see that coming. Wouldn't even have thought to put those two together.
Yeah.
There's a demo available, but it looks like all the screenshots kind of look the same to me, to be honest.
Yeah, this is something that you have to take a test drive, if you will, to have an idea of what this game is about. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? What are you talking about? Like, what could you possibly be doing? You're picking up items, maybe? I don't know, man. Who shared this? I would think it was Waconius.
Yeah, I can't remember. It's in the Discord, though. Yeah, the screenshots are not really doing it for me. I mean, there's a demo, so you could check it out yourself. Release date is August 14th, so not that far away. It looks like you're kind of driving in the middle of nowhere, a desert. You are driving on the left side of the car, though. So that's, what side of the car do we drive on?
Yeah. On the left side, dude. What is wrong?
The left.
Holy shit.
I don't know. I'm not in cars very much anymore. I've filled up the last few months. I've filled up my tank once a month. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Once a month.
Wait, but the assembly line job, that's somewhere, right?
Yeah, that's changing it. Yeah. I've been working there for about 2 weeks now. So yeah, that's definitely changing it. But yeah, so I don't know about this one. We'll see. Not holding my breath.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's a demo. I guess we could try it out. Maybe you could try it out. I'm not going to try it out.
I don't even know if I want to do that.
You know, it's so funny. Like when I was like downloading a lot of torrents for movies, I would look at them and they're free, right? So they're stolen, if you will. But either way, I was like, is this worth the 2 minutes and the data to download? Like, I don't know. Same thing with these demos. It is just like,
once something's really free, it immediately adjusts your opinion of it, right?
Yeah,
The value, the perceived value of it immediately plummets.
I learned that the hard way when I made a recycling business that was a free service, and people were like, what do you mean it's free? Like, I can't get anybody to sign up. And then I started charging for it, and it was fucking, it would work. Mm-hmm. So it was a strange thing, but yeah, totally.
Yeah.
By the way, this podcast is now $9.99 an episode, fuckers.
Yeah, maybe that's what we've been doing wrong, man. We need to charge $1 an episode.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we've got Death Stranding coming to the PC July 14th, right around the corner here.
That's 9 days from now. The headline that I clicked on was like, oh, all this new stuff. So most of it is like cosmetic stuff. Like you can change the color of certain armors and stuff like that, get like things that console players had to work towards, like getting the gold and silver armors. You can start with level one. Other than that, I guess there's the soundtrack has been expanded and there's now ultra wide support, so you would hope so for a game that looks like this, you know. Oh yeah, a bunch of new hats.
New hats,
yeah. But I mean, what interest level do you have on something like this, Bobby?
Not much. I am kind of interested in it because it is such, people have had such a difficult time defining this game, and that intrigues me a little bit. But I don't know. I know it's a long game and it originated on the console. So like, I don't really like a lot of console games.
I'm thinking I'm going to do what I did with The Last of Us 1 is probably just watch a YouTube recap of the screen the cutscenes.
I don't know if that'll do it though, because this, I think this game is just so different, like you'd have to play it to really get the full effect.
I don't know, dude, from what I've heard, the game part of it is just a delivery game. You're just taking things back and forth. So I'd like to cut out that whole part,
which sounds incredibly boring, but then people still play it.
Yeah.
Hold on. We've got someone who wants to call in and explain this to us here. Let's see. We got.
It sounds like we're doing a bit every time you do it that way.
The phone lines are lighting up. All right. Let me see here. Okay. Yeah. We got him on the line here. Let me switch over. All right. Warconius, you are on the line here. Feel free to pop on your webcam if you want. If not, no worries. You've played a lot of Death Stranding. Why don't you explain it to us?
Yeah. So I played on PS4. So it was exclusive for PS4 for, I think it's been about a year. Yeah, thereabouts a year. And I played it and I was really committed to it because I'm a big Kojima fan. So I love Kojima games. Kojima's games tend to be very kind of like, they are action focused, but they have like, usually they have like huge philosophical messages, and they combine that with like kind of goofiness, right? So that's kind of the Kojima formula, is like say something really artistic and really important, but then combine it with goofiness. And so Death Stranding is interesting in the sense that it is a game where you are kind of moving things from one place to the other. And the whole gameplay loop is like, how do I do it effectively? And how do I do it without encountering or avoiding these beings or these kind of spiritual beings or these ghosts, and doing it safely and making sure that all the shipments are safe. And so there's that element. And then there's the element of, there is an element of combat. And so you go into combat and you go into these like very interesting war scenarios. But I don't want to spoil too much of it, but you go into these war scenarios that are kind of very historic and very kind of like also very, there's a bit of a mythology in them as well. So it's a, you know, I spent at least 80 hours in that game and I completed it, and I really enjoyed it. And it's also like, The other thing about the game is it's really interesting to have played the game and now live in a world that we're all kind of quarantined and we're all kind of afraid to go out, because the world of Death Stranding is essentially people that are quarantined to these bunkers that they're terrified to go outside of their bunkers because there's these invisible ghosts or these invisible beings that are going to just essentially kill them and take them to the afterlife. And so so we're living in a world where essentially we're kind of going through it. And so these people kind of rely on these people that deliver packages. And so the main character, played by Norman Reedus, essentially delivers packages in between these bunkers, right? And so very cool game. You know, I love it. And so
What percentage of the game were you doing delivery runs, would you say? Of the 90 hours?
I would say, like 60% of it. And then there's cutscenes.
Hard pass.
Do you like Euro Truck Simulator?
I already played Crazy Taxi, dude. I don't need to.
It's not good. There's no there's no punk music in the. It has a very amazing soundtrack as well. That's another thing I should add. It's like he got like some of the best indie bands to contribute. And so Churches do one of the main songs for Death Stranding. Like, it's essentially this game was Kojima's kind of like art house project. Like, he got a ton of money from Sony. And he's like, I want Norman Reedus, I want Guillermo del Toro, I want like Churches, I want all these things that I love, and I'm going to put in a game, damn it, and the game's going to be exactly the way I want it. And so he's always been like that, and Death Stranding is like that to the next level. So I think people should try it. You can always refund Steam, but it's an interesting experience. It's like, it's very unique.
You're saying that I'm not going to get the full. Well, obviously, I won't get the full experience, but I'll get the whole story if I just watch a YouTube recap, right?
You get the story, but the gameplay is so important because the feelings you get from the gameplay kind of tie into the story. So the feelings of loneliness, the feelings of like fear, the feelings of like isolation. Like, he wanted, you know, there's lots of interviews where he kind of confused everyone, but you kind of get it after playing it. He said that he wants people to be Norman Reedus. Like, he wants people to kind of feel like they are him, right? And in the game, you play it so much, and if you play it so much, you'll kind of feel like you're kind of in his body, you're kind of going through his journey, right? So, you know, like, like I said, and it's also like, it's not like Last of Us 2, that's kind of very, you know, from what I heard, it's very emotionally heavy, it's consistently heavy. You know, there is, in Death Stranding, there is that Kojima goofiness where you know, you have to go to the washroom and make sure, and you create grenades out of your pee and your poo. And
of course you do, dude.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and you go into the shower and like Monster energy drinks, stuff like that. It's just goofiness, right? But then you go into these stories that are very profound and very kind of like, you know, combination of scary and very esoteric and stuff like that. I would say it's like in terms of themes, it's kind of that idea of science and spirituality and mixing together, you know, where you have a heavy science element to the story, but then you have this idea of like, you know, what if people could go to the afterworld and then come back and then kind of like certain people are able to kind of bridge the gap between the two. So it's I loved it.
All right. Well, yeah, you made a strong case for it.
Yeah. Try it, Bobby?
I don't know. At a $60 price point, maybe. I would play this over The Last of Us too. I know that.
What?
That's kind of heresy, but no, for all the reasons that he listed are the reasons that I'm interested in this game. This was the game that he made after Kojima, right? Like, after that whole thing, or not Kojima, yes, but Konami.
Konami.
Yes.
Yeah, after that whole snafu with Konami, and this is like him spreading his wings. So, I mean, he's a very interesting guy with a lot of interesting ideas, and just, I don't know. So, it's a long game, though.
It is a long game, yeah. Some people say it's an analogy of what he went through, the idea that when he split with Konami, he was isolated, and that his journey back into games was this journey of, like, bringing people together and getting friends and kind of, like, you know, creating these connections. Because the game, I haven't even added this, the game is multiplayer in a sense, where it's you're creating connections with people, and those connections will allow people to help you in your journey. So, for example, like if I build a bridge in the Death Stranding world, that bridge will be available to people that are connected to me. And those people that are connected to me can like the bridge, and that those likes contribute to the resources that I get. So there's this weird social media meta game within Death Stranding that's also like really, really interesting.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, maybe one of these days, if I got the time, I might check this out. I'd be interested in it, but
yeah, it's nothing. I've never played a game like it. It's a combination of different game mechanics and themes that I've never encountered ever in a game.
And that's what I've heard about it, and that's what interests me. It's unique. Like, people have a lot of trouble classifying this game.
Yeah, totally. Hmm. So,
all right.
So yeah, there it is.
Cool.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, thank you guys. And stay safe. Get healthy, man. Yeah, rooting for
Will
you.
Will do.
Okay, right. Cheers.
If I'm not here next week, you know what happened.
Oh, man. You'll be here next week.
All right. Thanks, Marconius.
Cheers. Bye.
All right. So Death Stranding. Yeah, man. Maybe one of these days. Always had my eye on that game.
Bobby, you want to do a Gorilla Mind read while I pee and make a drink?
Okay. I didn't have that prepped, but I guess I could pull up something. Yeah, go for it, dude.
Thank you.
Take it quick. Your dog is going to knock over your desk. Okay, Gorilla Mind, guys. Go to dlgaming.net, hit sponsors, and scroll down till you see Gorilla Mind. It is a cognitive enhancing supplement. Yeah, I can bring it up right here, actually. Cognitive enhancing supplement. So this could work if, you know, for gaming or for working out is mostly what I used it for. You probably heard us talk about this many times before, but this stuff definitely works. Just it works a little too well in some cases. If you take the rush, be careful with that stuff. I take like one of those and I'm good to go. I can't take those in the afternoon too, especially since I stopped drinking caffeine. I can't take too much of this stuff. It gets me a little too wired. They've got the smooth though, which I've also tried, and that one's a little more. It's a little easier here. Oh, hold on, JP Diddy, is that you on the line here?
Hey, that is me.
All right, let me switch to the 3-cam here. What's going on, man?
Hey,
there you go. Nice webcam and everything. How you doing, man?
Good. Staying healthy. Yeah. Trying to. Bored out of my mind staying at home all the time, but making it work. Yeah. Got you guys to listen to and game with, so that helps.
Mm-hmm. What you been playing?
Actually, most recently, Mortal Shell.
Okay, Mortal Shell. That's actually the next game we were going to talk about. That's
perfect. Oh, timing is perfect.
Wow, look at that. You'd think we'd plan that.
Let me lead into it for you.
Yeah, man.
What have you been playing?
Well, let me bring it up here. All right, Mortal Shell. Now, there's a demo out of this game, right?
Correct.
That was the big news recently.
Yep. Yeah, so as of Saturday, I want to say morning, they had a closed beta open to a few streamers that evidently they had got such high demand to open the beta up to more people or get keys for the closed beta, that whether it was a marketing ploy or not, they decided to then open it up to an open beta Saturday. So I jumped on the chance to give it an install and see how it would go, give it a play.
Is it just going to be open forever now, or is this a limited time beta?
I don't know. Yeah, I think it's a Q3 release, so it's coming up on some sort of release coming soon, and I think it's $50. But yeah, it's right now an open beta on the on the Epic Store.
Yeah,
Epic for people Games. To try out.
Yeah, and this looks like the graphics look really good here. Kind of a medieval Dark Souls.
It's exactly right. It's very. I think it's very Dark Souls. It's like a graphically updated slash impressive Dark Souls. But I believe the developers is a lot smaller group of guys, not some big from software conglomerate like what we're used to seeing with Dark Souls, Sekiro, etc. It's a much smaller group. But I did give the beta a try. I'm actually still working my way through it, and it's really only two very small level sections, but it's punishingly difficult.
And what we were talking about, John, is like they're maximizing their game space, right?
That's so right.
They're a small developer, so you saw a little bit of this in Surge, where they just maximize how many routes you could take through the same. Well, in this game, they just put a bunch of enemies in a small amount. So you fight, you take one breath, and you fight, and you fight, and you fight, and it's almost a way of squeezing out maximum amount of content in a small space, confined space.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Like the first area, I would even say the first two areas, you can essentially run straight through them if you know where you're going. Like you can do the boss run, just immediately plow through and not touch a single guy if you know where to roll and where to run through without running out of stamina. So it's not a very big area, but the advantage to playing through it is then getting, I forget the currency, if you will, that you lose if you die. But essentially you get that to level your character, to get stronger, to buy different shells. What makes this game really interesting, at least to me, is that the concept is you're this entity that can go within these different bodily shells. And so the first shell you get is that of a knight with a big longsword. And then later you get like a thief's shell, which then you can get a hammer and a chisel, which is a much faster attacking weapon. And then you have different trade-offs in capabilities between the two. So the knight obviously has lower stamina, but larger hit point pool, tougher all around, but slower. And then the thief is more agile, more stamina, quicker, but at the cost of is a little more squishy, stuff like that. And one of the mechanics they add is, so you're inside this entity, the shell, and the first time you get killed, you get blown out of your shell, and then you only have one hit point. Go ahead.
Super cool effect, man. When I was watching your stream, like, it was probably the coolest thing that I saw. Which is just like, it's almost like a, like in, when you're watching, I think, Snatch, when they knocks the guy out of, he uppercuts him, and it just freezes, and it backs up, and he falls into water. That's what it's reminding me of. Like, you get knocked out of your shell, time stops for a second,
everything
looks kind of weird, and then you try to get back into your shell, right? Because you can,
you can get back into your shell, and you'll get all your health replenished, but you can only go through that cycle once until you have to start all over. So basically, you have like two lives is the simplistic way to look at it. The other thing that's really interesting is you have a mechanic that's called Harden. There's no block at all in the game. There's just a Harden. So essentially, you turn into stone, and you can do that mid-swing. You can do that mid-jump at any point in time, and essentially hold that stone pose until an enemy hits you, and it might stagger them, that gives you another chance for a hit, stuff like that. You essentially use it kind of like a parry, but not really, because there's an actual parry. But it's more like a 5-second cooldown block, which is kind of interesting.
When I met Samantha, we met online, and I messaged her that I have a mechanic called Harden, and that was a stretch. That's what we call a stretch, folks.
There's a shot of that, what you were talking about in the trailer here, where the spirit seems to fly out of the body or the shell.
Yep, that's it. That's it. Yep.
That's a great shot. Yeah. So it's kind of like Ghost in the Shell. See, I know the anime people. Yeah. I think I don't know anime.
Here's looking at you.
but that's cool. I love the medieval setting, and the graphics look great. This is like not a game for me, though. I'm assuming it's like controller only. Like, really got to play with the controller here.
I think you could play it with a keyboard and a mouse. I don't. I always rely on a controller for them, these types of games. But it's punishingly difficult. I've played a lot of Dark Souls 3, beat every single boss. I played through all of Sekiro. I do a lot of Dark Souls-like games. Neo, etc., the Surge that we were talking about earlier. And this was like a very steep learning curve, and as good as it feels to be good at it, it does feel like it's right now it's very punishing, and
that's another way to get even more content. You just up the difficulty, you know what I mean? Whether or not these are good decisions or necessary decisions, what if they made this fucking awesome game that was 3 hours long? People would be pissed. Who knows what the balance is there.
The one thing I picked up today that I thought was really clever was that they have this familiarity you can get with items you use, and so if you use items sometimes up to 10 times each, then it changes their effect. And I'll give you an example. One is there's a poisonous mushroom that you eat it, it actually hurts you, but the 10th time you eat it, you become so familiar with it that now when you eat it, it gives you a 120-second buff where you can't be poisoned.
Wow, that's awesome. Is that persistent, though?
Yeah, like, then from then on, you're good. Yeah, every time you eat that mushroom, now it's a poison resistance, basically.
Shit.
Stuff like that. So that was really clever.
And there wasn't anything in the game to tell you that? You just kind of figured that out by eating poisonous mushrooms?
That's exactly right. Just like at home, I just throw the mushrooms in. No, wait. But yeah, it has a familiarity scale for each of the items, and you have no idea when you max it out what it's going to do. There was a loot. If you remember, Emilio, I was playing the loot, and I'm like, oh, check this out. Well, I was like, this is dumb. I'm not ever going to use this. Well, when I became familiar with it, when I did it 10 times, it actually generates aggro for a non-aggro bad guy. So you'll sit down and play the loot, and then that'll aggro one of the guys to come at you that you can then fight one on 1v1 versus if there's a group of three of them and have to them.
That almost sounds like you're getting worse at the loot because like they're getting pissed that you're playing like
what's that noise off. Forget about it.
That's cool, man. I think, I mean, based on what I saw, it was the best looking Souls-like that I've seen. I don't know if it's going to end up being the best. It sounds like it probably won't be. But, I mean, looks-wise. And the atmosphere, like I told you, dude, I felt like I was watching a horror movie, dude. Like,
yeah, it was intense.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I was right there with you.
Yeah, when the guys, like, jumped on my neck and was ripping stuff out of it, the character and stuff like that. It was highly detailed, good reflections, good lighting. Like, it was very cool to look at. I'd love to see like an engine like this with like a Dark Souls 3 remake or Dark Souls 4, God forbid, right? That would be amazing.
Yeah, Dark Souls 4, that's got to happen at some point, right?
You'd hope so.
Yeah. Last thing, John. Oh, two things. Yeah. Did you play The Surge 2, and how did that stand up?
I only played like the first section of it. I really enjoyed The Surge 1. I enjoyed the mechanics of it a lot, so I'm looking forward to getting back into The Surge 2. But now with like Neo 2 just came out, the Ghost of Tsushima is going to come out. There's a few other things I'm curious are going to be good Souls like, and I've never actually played Bloodborne, which is another one everybody talks about. So Surge 2 definitely on my radar is something I'm going to play and give some time to though.
Cool. And then I forgot what my other question was, but do you have two kids and a mortgage?
Because I look I do.
Because you look like you do. Yeah. All right, thanks, John.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime. See you guys.
Talk to you later, man.
Catch you later. All right. Cool. You know what?
Dick, this is why we call him Dick Nick. He knew John for 10 seconds. He's like, hey, John. First thing he said, hey, man, how's it going? Good. Hey, do you have two kids and mortgage? He's like, yes, I do. He's like, good, because you look like you do. What a fucking dick.
He calls him like he sees him.
He does.
All right. We did forget one game, though. Hyperscape.
Oh, right. So that's the new Ubisoft fucking Battle Royale. I watched the stream for about 20, 30 minutes of this. Somebody got an early copy or whatever, early access. And from what I could tell, it's a lot more. It looks a lot like... what's the one that you dive in together with three people, Bobby?
Apex Legends?
Yeah, it's a lot more Apex Legends than it is PUBG or Call of Duty. You know, it's like cyber futuristic type stuff. The big difference here that I saw was that you get abilities, like superhero type abilities, especially one that I saw called Slam and Wall. You could do, but you don't, it's not a character based, like you don't pick a character and you get these abilities. You pick them up outside of guns. So you can pick up guns and you can also pick up abilities. So you can.
Is your character just like a skin? It's just an avatar? Yeah. Okay.
Just a regular, so just like.
Yeah. That's an interesting way generic, to
work. Yeah, yeah. I thought it was cool because you can kind of build the model that you want as long as you find that stuff.
Yeah, build and it in game. And then on top of that,
build it in game. Yeah, kind of like a roguelike in that sense. But, it's also, you got this, everybody trying to kill you at the same time, which is what makes these things so hectic. Mm-hmm. Dude, the slam ability looked so fucking cool, man. You jump probably 100 feet in the air and come down and crash on somebody. But the guy was using it as an escape and also offensively. And it comes up like every 8 seconds. So you're like fucking Hulk slamming things constantly. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. The wall was just like, it's just a wall that you can use as if you're a sniper. Another thing that I liked. So if you, let's say you had the sniper rifle, and you're looting and you find another sniper rifle, instead of it's just something you don't pick up, you can actually use that second sniper rifle to upgrade your current sniper rifle to a level 2 sniper rifle. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Or whatever, your SMG. If you keep finding multiples, it gets your initial gun keeps getting stronger. That's what I saw. This is in beta, I believe, closed beta.
Yeah, there's a link to join the tech test here.
Nothing that I saw like super wowed me, but I like the ideas that they had, and if it's free to play, I'll check it out.
Yeah, I like that idea of looting your abilities as well as your guns. That's cool.
Yeah, you can modify your loadout on the fly. So, mm-hmm. Let's say your Hulk smash was on E, or the other one was on Q. You can switch those around. You could assign what buttons they go to and stuff like that. So, it was cool. There's no doors in the game. Well, okay, so you're in the city, and there's doors. But then the doors you can go in aren't real doors. They're kind of like plasma doors. So I see why they did it, because they don't want people just running up to every door that they can't open. But it just seemed kind of odd. You have to walk up to this plasma door and like smack it, and then you can walk through it. And then all the other doors are just like cosmetic. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It just seemed kind of odd, but I see why they did it. Hmm. It just kind of stood out to me. But I would definitely check this out. And I'll suck at it just like I do the other battle royals.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me, the first game that we talked about, Worms Rumble, there is a sign up for the beta on that. I believe it's linked. I don't know where I found that, but I signed up for it. You could Google it, but that's got to sign up as well. You know, what's funny is I feel like I'm starting to get into those a lot more often now.
Yeah. I mean, we're super famous, dude.
Yeah, that's true.
Dude, I'm sorry that I got run out and have to pee. Like, it reminds me of like the Tide commercials. You ever see that where the stain is like talking, blah, 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 blah. Like you're trying to talk and the stain talks over you? It's like all I can think of is my bladder at a certain point.
Yeah, well, when nature calls.
It's true.
All right, so it's time for news. We've got a few articles here. First one, speaking of battle royales, Amazon's latest PC game to be delisted from Steam after less than 2 months. This is from Ars Technica. This is referring to Crucible. They're going to take it off of Steam. And if you already installed it, then you will still have access to it, and it'll be considered like a technical beta or something like that. So I think you'll still be able to play it, but no new people will be able to get this game for a little while. This came up a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, but they talked about how they were going to do like some massive overhauls on this game, a lot of big changes. So it looks like while those changes are taking effect, they're taking the game off the shelf.
What game, Bobby? Is that New World?
No, Crucible.
Crucible. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
Okay.
you remember Crucible. We played it.
Yeah,
We had a little bit of fun
we
with it.
played it.
Yeah, they're just doing the Heart of the Hives or whatever. They're getting rid of the other two modes. They're changing a bunch of other things, adding a mini map and some more communication. So, yeah, so I
This
guess
is
it.
not where you needed this in your game development cycle. This is the worst time. Right when you're like trying to rebuild yourself and come out again, this is not when you want to be taken off Steam. You know what I mean?
It's an interesting decision. I wonder why they did that. Now, this started on July 1st, so it is too late to get the game now. But when this article was originally posted, there is still a day left. But yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if there's any reviving this game. It's a competitive market, and usually if you don't come out of the gate running and like making some noise, then it's hard to catch up.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. All right, next up, Discord ditches gaming branding in a bid to become a general purpose chat app. This article is from PC Gamer. And basically, Discord probably realized how popular Zoom got and figured, why can't we do that? Now that everybody's using communication, online communication so much, video and voice, they're like, why are we limiting ourselves to just gamers? Why don't we try to reach beyond that? And that's probably a really smart decision.
Absolutely, 100%. The way that this was presented to me and the headlines that I keep seeing, it makes you feel like they're turning their head away from gaming. But of course, that's not what's happening. But if maybe they would have a little more thought about how they were going to do this, now we're going to be also focusing on, you know what I mean? Like we're turning away from gaming focused. I wish it would have been presented more as like we're also now including meetings and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Do you see what I'm saying? If the way that it's being said now, it sounds like a betrayal or something like that.
Yeah, and
It
maybe
doesn't
that's
matter.
the, I understand what you're saying, and I think that might be kind of the fault of the way that people are covering the story. Even this title right here, Discord ditches gaming, like that sounds bad, right? But if you look at the actual statement they made, the first thing they say is like, we are incredibly grateful to the gaming community and everything that they've done for us, and we will never forget where we came from and where we got our start. That's how they started off. So I don't think their official statement was like that. I think it's just kind of been skewed a little bit in some of the coverage.
And that all said, more power to them, dude. I think that they fucking crush Zoom. They crush Blue Jeans. Like Steam, I mean, Discord is by far the best communication software I've ever used. I know there's that whole thing where like if you don't pay for it, you're probably the you're
You're
the
the product.
commodity. That's
Yeah.
yeah, you're the product. But I mean, I have no complaints about it. They're the premier move.
It's incredibly user-friendly too, more so than a lot of these other alternatives out there. So, I mean, yeah, there is a bit of a security issue, I suppose, if you're trying to be secretive for whatever reason. But yeah, I don't know. This is definitely the right move for them, and we'll see what happens. I wouldn't mind using Discord in other areas of my life. We had that interview months ago with the teacher from Canada, Cam, who was using it for his classroom. And that's a great idea, but still, you got to kind of adjust Discord a little bit to kind of fit that. It would be nice if they had something that catered more towards like office or education or the work environment rather than gaming.
I use it for everything, man. Back when, all those years ago, when I was an entrepreneur, every one of my businesses had its own Discord, and that's how we just kind of keep track of everything. Because like things are said, but now you have this text log, you know, with links. I mean, you know Discord. Everybody knows Discord. And by the way, you haven't been on our Discord, you're fucking up. Come to our Discord.
Yep, that's where the party's
dlgaming.net.
at.
Click on our Discord. Yeah.
All right. Next article, a Fallout TV show is coming from Amazon Studios and the creators of Westworld. This is an article from PC Gamer.
So,
The Witcher show didn't, I don't think that really caught fire, right? So when I saw this Fallout TV show, of course, they're snatching up video games left and right to make shows and movies. But then I saw creators of Westworld, and the first season of Westworld was pretty good. So that excited me a little bit.
Yeah, the first one was really good. Second one fell off, and I heard the third one. Is the third one out?
Yeah, there's a third season. I heard the second one was bad. I never bothered to check it out.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, this is fucking exciting, man. It's a great, anything post-apocalyptic, I'll never get tired of it. I don't know what it is, but so Luna's my daughter, my 5-year-old daughter, or 5-month-old mm-hmm. daughter, and she is her number one thing. I know she's only 5 months old, is pets. Like, as soon as the cats come around, the dog comes around, it's magnetism and laughs, and it never ends. So, of course, we're like, oh, okay, maybe, hopefully she'll be a veterinarian, you know? And then I was like, well, if the world goes to shit, you know, veterinarians are usually the doctors or whatever, like in most of the stories or whatever. So I'm always thinking of the post-apocalyptic version of things, like constantly, dude. I don't know why. I'm not even a prepper. Well, all of this stuff that you're seeing here, I guess, could be used as prep stuff. But yeah, man, I'm constantly thinking of that stuff, and there needs to be more shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a done to death setting, but it doesn't mean
I don't care. That's what I'm telling you. I don't care.
And I mean, Fallout has its own spin on it, right? All you got to do is show. What's the name of the little guy? The little guy with the thumbs up.
Oh,
Fallout Boy.
Fallout Boy.
I don't know. That's the band. He's got a name, but all you need to the Pip Boy. Is that it? Or the pit, that's the little device on your wrist. What I'm trying to say is there's iconic things in Fallout. You put that in there, people are going to immediately buy into it. And there's no reason you can't make a great show in that setting. It could definitely work. And I think it would actually work better in a TV show, like as an episodic or a serialized, than as a movie. So, I don't know.
For sure. I agree. And, you know, just like the games, if every season was a different like city, that'd be, you know, that'd be great. Like a same setting, different cities, which have a different story, just like the mm-hmm. games. That'd be a great way of doing it.
Yeah, and if it's Amazon Studios, it'll probably be on Amazon Prime.
You know, Amazon Prime Video. I read an article about like one of the things that really upset Jeff Bezos is that he doesn't have his Game of Thrones. He doesn't have that like killer app that brings mm-hmm. people over to Amazon Video. And that's why he spent fucking, what is it, $1 billion or something stupid on that Lord of the Rings show that's coming out. He's mm-hmm. spending so much money. Like, I don't know if it's true.
What he needs to do is get a better UI for a Prime Video, man. Cause that sucks. That's the worst part about it, man.
Yeah,
but and Amazon Studios doesn't really have like that one thing to hook you. I mean, Hulu's got like all the old syndicated stuff, and they got a few things of their own. You know, that new Rick and Morty type show, Solar Opposites, is on there. They got a few exclusives.
Have you tried watching it?
What's that, Solar Opposites?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've watched it.
Dude, I got a piece of bed. I'll be right back.
All right. Sniper, is this supposed to be linked here? Okay, it is. Let me see. All right. While we're waiting for Emilio, a little something for the viewers here. This is an old classic Twitch clip. God, remember that old layout? I'll turn the audio up so you can hear.
Oh, that's all the way down, guys.
Look at that dirty carpet.
That's not one fat guy. Hey, Jake. Look at Van Damme.
So if you're listening, what you're seeing on screen is me doing the splits.
Pretty
flexible.
Yeah. Oh,
and that's Minnie moaning in the background. Oh God, looking at the old studio, man, that takes me back a little bit. Who knows when we're going to be back in the studio. All right. Emilio should be back in a moment, but I'll plug his. Oh, here he is. Perfect timing, man.
In the back.
Yeah. No, that's not a bunch of yoga. I've always been really flexible. I stretch a lot, and I still do to this day. Just got to keep limber. You know, it's one of the rules in Zombieland.
Bobby does a lot of good maintenance, man. It's like he plays piano a certain amount of day, a certain amount of time. He reads a certain amount of time during the day. Like, it's all scheduled out, and it's good. It's absolutely good.
Try to be a well-rounded individual.
Yeah.
All right.
You can do all that stuff when you don't have kids.
Yep, exactly. All right, the last article we have here is Evo 2020 Game Tourney canceled, co-founder fired. This is also from Ars Technica, and it was not canceled because of COVID. So we covered it a while back. They made Evo completely online because of COVID. That was the plan. But, you know, a lot of people have been getting in hot water lately because of accusations of sexual misconduct and all sorts of things. And apparently one of the guys involved with this was accused of that, and all these sponsors completely dropped out, like dropped like flies. And then the story kind of unfolded here. So this is an updated article. At first it says, like, you know, there was no comment, some sponsors dropped out. Then later the guy came forward and he talked about it and kind of admitted to it and apologized for it. And then they fired him and then canceled Evo entirely.
Yeah, man. I don't know if he was going to be able to bounce back from this. First of all, they had to, you know, the COVID thing. So they were going to go online only. And then this double, it's almost like a 1-2 punch. It's probably a knockout blow. I don't see them coming back next year. I could see them trying. I just don't know, especially since it was more of a convention, you know.
It wasn't about the tournament. It was more about the gathering. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, I always love watching the tournament part of it. But yeah, there was a lot. It was like a fighting game convention. But you pull that part out of it, and then now you've pulled the tournament part of it. Good luck next year. I don't know what they're going to do. That said... Yeah. The accusation came from like over 20 years ago, I think. Yeah, I think that's what I said. Don't quote me here. I heard the guy say, you know, I was young and stupid or something like that. And these things are from over 20 years ago. And it's tough, man. Like, there's a lot of like canceling going on and a lot of like accusations and stuff. At what point do people are allowed redemption? At what point is not okay, but at what point do you stop persecuting somebody? If something was 20 years ago, are you a different person? Are you a better person? Do we allow you the time to speak your mind and say that you are a better person? Prove that you are. Maybe you've got kids. Maybe you have, you've got kids, you're married, you've had no affairs in that 20 year period. It doesn't make up for it, but are you still the same person that took advantage of your position?
Well, I think it varies from case to case, right? Like, you got to look at the big picture and everything involved. Like, is this repeated behavior? How long ago was it? You know, there's a lot of questions you got to ask. So I can't find anywhere in the article where it says this actually happened, but the case was he was involved with a minor, somebody underage. Charges of sexual assault against a minor is what they have here.
I tried looking for exactly what was going on. I can't tell if the guy himself said he was under 18 at the time. Like, if you're 17 and you're doing misconduct with a 16-year-old and you're 17-year-old, it's not as bad, right? I don't know. If you're both underage, but I don't know. I could not find the exact thing that happened. So it was hard for me to like pass judgment or whatever, but either way, again, I'll go back to it again. At what point? Okay. So if something happens in the law, if you kill somebody, there's a statute of limitations, isn't there? Like if the actual law, but then the law of like public opinion, seems to have no statute of limitations.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. That's a real tough call because, again, you've got, like, I always think about me 10 years ago or in my 20s, and like I didn't do anything like this egregious, you know. I wasn't that bad, but like I certainly was not like a great guy, you know.
Yeah.
Like I would have probably been eaten up in this world, but you know, at the same time, like I made some huge mistakes, and I had to you know, pay the price for them, and like I completely turned myself around. And I think in light of that, people would probably see me differently. But if it's difficult when you have somebody who they don't apologize for their actions unless they're called out on it, and you know, they're brought to this, they're brought to public attention, and then they have to make the apology, you know. I don't know.
So Sniper just sent me a link of what the accusations are. It's 700 words. It's like, we're live on a podcast, dude. next time, condense it down to a sentence.
Looking for the TLDR here, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, tough, man. It's tough. It's tough. No. I don't know what's going on anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird world we live in right now, but you know, a lot of people are being held accountable for their actions. So in general, it's probably a good thing, even though, yeah, there can be some situations where this gets out of hand, but I don't know. More often than not, I feel like most of this stuff is a little bit deserved, but I don't know. I'm not here to pass judgment on anyone.
Yeah, I agree. The way I look at it, like a lot of this stuff is a lot of people, I mean, the reason they achieve in the first place is just like competition and trying to get into a big place in life so that you can make a lot of money and attract a lot of women. And a lot of people, like, they get to that position and they don't. And then they just abuse that position that they have now to try to make up. And it's a tale all this time, dude. As soon as somebody, you give anybody power, they're gonna abuse it. And I am glad that it's being called out now. And that's no longer acceptable, even though it's like the oldest story in the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's good that it's gonna be changing now.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this stuff kind of sets a precedent for future cases too. So going forward, hopefully it'll be better. You know, that's the dream, right? That all this gets better and that we change. But
I'm sure he's feeling a little hot under the collar, but not as hot as Insidious.
Oh, God.
My special blend of seeds and spices. Try it out, guys. I sell this. It's called Insidious. It's Insidious with seed in the name, insidious.com. It is a oil, chili, and seed-based hot sauce. It has 7 seeds in it and olive oil. That's all. It's a nice special blend of it, though. And once you have it, if you like spicy stuff, if you like savory, if you like smoky, that's it. It's a good, like, you're going to love it. It adds a little bit of texture to the bite as well. It's not like a ground up. It's not like a sauce. It's hard to really put it. Go to our website. Check it out. Look at the pictures, and you have a decent idea of what it is. And then as far as the flavor, you'll be like, the first bite, you'll be like, what is this? Second bite, I guess this is acceptable. Third bite, all right. And then after the fourth bite, you're going to be buying jars and jars. So go to insidious.com, put in the promo code DLG, and you'll get 10% off your order. Oh, we're all out of fire right now. Mm-hmm. By the way, this was all made before I got the COVID.
I was going to say, this. You're not personally bottling any of these, right?
Yeah. We're out of the fire. My partner is going to have to be making it. He tested too, and he tested negative. He's going to be making all the other stuff. Yeah, we're out of fire for now, but you can get the original at acds.com.
All right. Cool, cool. Time for listener questions. Okay. Got a special scene made up just for this. All right. Here we go. Right about there. Ooh, that looks good. All right. First listener question coming from Neo Reloaded. This actually isn't a question, just a correction for the Captain Gummy question in the last podcast. The Rift S is currently Oculus's premium headset. The Quest is standalone and wire-free, but not as high spec as the Rift S. It can't play most, if any, big standalone titles like Half-Life Alyx, Asgard's Wrath, Boneworks, etc. Also, you don't need any kind of hack to use Steam. Just launch the Steam VR as you'd normally do, and you're good to go. Okay, so that's what I thought. Like, the wireless one wasn't their top tier one. And I'm glad he cleared up the whole Steam VR thing, because that was the big question I had. Like, can you use, because I know they have their own Oculus store that you have to buy a lot of stuff, but it does work.
But the tricky part is like, okay, so it can run Steam VR, but it can't play the big ones. Like, why? Why can't it play Alyx, and why can't it Boneworks? You know what I mean?
If you can run
the program that houses them, why can't you run the program?
Yeah, because wouldn't the computer be doing all the work? I don't know. Maybe it's maybe there's just some sort of limitation that it can't handle there. But yeah, that's a bit of a deal breaker. Half-Life Alyx, you know, the flagship game of VR, you can't play that.
Yeah.
And Boneworks, I know a lot of people are really into that game. All right, well, thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, Neo, thank you. Because most of the corrections we don't even correct our corrections, but that was worth it.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
All right, next question from Warconius. Sniper, you want to get your cursor out of the way there, dude? You're ruining the shot.
Warconius.
Oh, no, that's you, dude. That's you. Get your cursor.
All right, I like it. Look at this.
All right, I'm going to scroll down. All right, Warconius says, your favorite Devolver game in the past year. I really liked My Friend Pedro, but there are some other really strong titles. Ape Out, Katana Zero, The Messenger, Enter the Gungeon, Observation, and Piku Niku.
Of course Piku Niku, dude. I haven't played Piku Niku nor Observation. I've played all the other ones. And I think you meant Exit the Dungeon. That's the newest ones. Which, by the way, didn't rank. I mean, the reviews aren't as good as Enter the Gungeon. But anyway, so The Messenger, I haven't played, but Mini Del Macho gave it Game of the Year for him. He loved it. Katana Zero, I played it. I thought it was a good game. I wasn't super blown away, but it was fun. Ape Out blew the top off my head, dude. Like, I really, really enjoyed Ape Out. And, what's the other one? I feel like there was one more. My Friend Pedro.
My Friend Pedro.
It was very, very cool. On Pedro, I would have liked to see a little more. For me, the game was, how cool can I make me killing these people? Like, how awesome movie quality can I make this scene? And if they would have really pushed you making it look cool as opposed to just getting through the level, I would have liked it a lot more. You know what I mean? Like, if I would have got kudos for making it look cool, or some sort of a combo system to get XP to unlock stuff or something like that, I would have liked it a lot more. But it's a great game, don't get me wrong, but Ape Out was probably my hero of those ones.
I don't think I've played any Devolver games in the last year.
You're fucking up, man.
I know, they got a lot of great, great titles, and they're publishers, right? They aren't developers. I don't think they have a developer.
Yeah,
studio.
Dude. But I feel like they just have a really good.
They have really good taste in games. You know what I mean? They publish a lot of good ones that are usually around that like $10 to $20 tier Usually, you know, kind of pixelish graphics, definitely not hyper realistic, but just very satisfying, fun games. I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to, though. They published the new Shadow Warrior games, both Shadow Warrior 1 and 2. The second Shadow Warrior, I'm talking about the remakes, of course, not the original 90s one. The second Shadow Warrior was kind of like Borderlands-ish. I didn't like that one as much. They have a new Shadow Warrior game coming out very soon here, and I'm looking forward to that one. So hopefully that'll be
good. Yeah, man. It's exactly right, dude. They're just good at picking what to publish. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like if I was out there doing this, I like 100% of the games that they've put out. Yeah. There was even a clicking game, which I hate clicking games. And somehow I clicked like 400,000 times on this game. You know, I forgot what it was called, but it had something to do with space. Yeah. But yeah, I like all their games.
Yeah, they've become a mark of quality, I'd say.
Yeah.
That you can trust. All right, next.
Go ahead.
Next question from Burn Division. How bad are your shits right now, and have you pooped today? I'm guessing this is directed at you.
No, let's go with you, Bobby.
They're just fine. And probably, I mean, it's 7 o'clock. I'm sure I've had a bowel movement.
I feel like white guys are always like, oh, I go at 4 p.m. every day, and that's just how it goes. Are you like that? Like, you scheduled?
Oh, when I'm at work? Yeah. Yeah, dude. Because it like, every day is the same for me, dude. I wake up, you know, I usually eat the same stuff with all the Soylent that I eat. So, yeah, it's pretty routine for me. But, you know, during summer, who knows, man?
It's... The gloves are off.
Yeah.
I didn't get any of the diarrhea because that's one of the symptoms, but everybody else in the household got it. So that is a thing, I guess. But I poop all day, usually. I have very good whatever. Like, I poop probably 4 or 5 times a day.
Wow. That's a lot, dude. That's...
Yeah, I have to poop for 20 minutes after every meal, basically. So every time I eat, I gotta poop. That's just how it goes. Yeah.
So you can't be too far from a bathroom at any particular time.
I'm a slave to the toilet.
Yeah.
Toilet slave.
All right. Next question.
We got a name for the podcast, dude. Toilet slave.
I don't know about that. All right. Next question from Kurd the Ape. You're over COVID, fully recovered, non-contagious, and can't catch it again, at least not in the near term. What is the first thing you do?
So as soon as I get out of this like cloud of infection, I go try to have sex with as many women as possible. That's usually my goal anyway, but I've got to put that on hold for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Don't share this with Sam.
Yikes. It sounds like your mic moved away from your mouth there. You might want to move that back.
Wondering also, like, how are people hooking up these days? Like, are young people just having as much sex as they used to be?
I wondered about that. Like, how do you date in a COVID world? That's not a problem that I have, but I'm just wondering, like, how does that work with social distancing?
I think if you're young, you don't give a fuck. I think it was going on.
Yeah, probably.
Like, I drove through downtown, and people were just like drinking and walking through, like they didn't care. Mm.
Yeah, yeah. It was 4th of July out here, and you wouldn't know that there's a pandemic.
Yeah.
All right. Next question from Cricket Soldier. When does Bobby do a movie review of Ready Player One? And what headset do you use for the podcast? And what do you use for personal gaming? So Ready Player One, man, I saw that in the theater, didn't really like it, but that always happens whenever I read the book and then go see the movie, especially with YA, young adult, like, you know, they're for kids. They're for like teenagers.
Young adults.
Yeah. They're for literally young adults. So I don't know. I do want to watch that movie again though. Like, I want to watch it again and kind of just, now that I have some perspective, try to judge it fairly, but I don't know, man. When I had some free time this summer, I was seriously thinking about bringing back the movie reviews. I miss doing those, but I think the next one I was supposed to do was Pixels.
How much was the how much did you like the book, Bobby?
I really liked it when I read it. I'm sure if I read it again or now reading it, it wouldn't be as good, but I kind of read it early on before the whole like 80s mania nostalgia really kicked into full gear. And things are always so much better in text, right? Books are always so much better. You put them in movies and then it starts to look a little cheesy. You know, like I recently watched a movie that I absolutely love ever since childhood. It was called Excalibur, 1981. Check it out.
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart's in that movie. You know the book. Do you know the movie, though?
The movie, I mean.
Oh, the movie?
Yeah, I know the movie.
Okay. It was back when, in the early 80s, they were doing a lot of sword and fantasy movies, and the only one that really did well was the first Conan movie. So you don't see too much in that genre anymore. But it's a very weird telling of, you know, the story of Arthur. And you start to realize when you watch the movie, like, dude, this story is ridiculous. Like, watching people act it out, you're just like, this is kind of dumb. But then, you know, you read it and it seems like such a magical tell or tale. So I don't know. I think a lot of times things have trouble transitioning into movies or into TV shows when you adapt them from books. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe one of these days, Ready Player One.
Bobby, did you ever, I'm curious if you've watched this movie. It's called A Quest for Fire.
A Quest for Fire? That sounds so familiar. I haven't seen it, but I feel like I've kind of heard of it.
It's a caveman movie. And like, I watched it when I was like 14, and it like, it was so impactive to my entire life after that. But nobody ever mentions it. I got to rewatch it. But like, I'm very curious to what you would think about it. What was the other movie that we were talking about that you said you were going to watch? Reign of Fire. Did you ever get around to watching it?
No.
Matthew McConaughey with dragons.
You're talking about the Forest Whitaker one, right?
No, that was Ghost Dog.
Okay. Oh, Reign of Fire.
You said you were going to watch Reign of Fire.
Yeah, I got to throw that on my watch list, man. I got a lot of movies queued up. And even with, like, since I've been back to work, like, it's been a struggle, but I've still been managing to watch one movie a day. Since I won't be back at work next week, maybe I'll have time to watch more. But I've got a lot queued up, man. Got a lot on my plate here. Check me out, letterboxd.com/RobertDigital.
Damn.
see what I'm watching. What was the other part of this question? What headset do you use for the podcast, and what do you? I hate saying you use, man. That's hard for me. What do you use for personal gaming? So for the podcast, we use some really standard dynamic mics. Like one of them is a Shure, like a pretty good quality mic, and then the other ones are like the really cheap Samsung ones that we got, but work pretty well, and. Those are really, the dynamic mics are way better for like blocking out a lot of the sound. Like during this podcast, because I'm using my mic, the Audio-Technica AT2020, like you probably hear the mouse clicks and the keyboard and everything because I'm at my computer, but that's just condenser.
I haven't heard any of that actually. But what we do hear is echo because you don't own anything in the background.
Well, I've got like a hardwood floor and then nothing on the walls, no carpets. There's not a lot of like, there's no rugs. There's no, I got silk sheets over here and a fake leather couch. It might be real leather. I don't know. So yeah, there's nothing to soak up the sound waves. It's not a great acoustic environment.
That's true.
Yeah. But I mean, you're in a garage right now. So I mean, you can't really, you can't rag on me that much. But what you have a Snowball and you recently got a headset and you're using that mic, right?
Yeah, man. I like it so much. It's the Artis 5. SteelSeries Artis 5, which is like the low end. I talked about it like 3-4 weeks ago and how like I liked it so much. I think I want to upgrade to like the 7 or the Pro. This mixer dial is so fucking useful. Like, it's crazy because every game has different levels, every voice has different levels, but now I got a little thing to like, I twiddle it and I find the perfect balance between the two, especially when I'm streaming. It's just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the I think the audio quality for the microphone was better on the snowball. But yeah. Then again, you're picking up everything too. Like the one that you're using right now blocks out a lot of that background noise.
It does.
All right. Next question here.
Especially, go ahead. Waconia sounded like he had fucking Looney Tunes playing in the background. I don't think he was on a noise cancellation mic.
Yeah, he sounded like he was on a laptop.
Yeah.
All right. Next question from Atrocious. Directed to me. All right. I was watching your video game movie reviews on YouTube, and they are fantastic. Thank you very much. Love the production quality and everything. Are you going to continue the series? Also, I heard you mention a Pixels review was coming, but I couldn't find it. Was that not uploaded to YouTube, or was that review not made? So at the end of every one of my videos, during the end credits, I would always say what movie I was doing next. And the last review that I made, I said I was doing Pixels next, but no, I never made the Pixels review. And I kind of stopped doing them because number one, they were a lot of work and, they weren't getting like a ton of views, but I really enjoyed doing them. But also like, dude, a lot of video games are, I ended up saying the same thing about a lot of these because they're video game movies. They're not good movies, right? But the idea with the whole video game movie review series was just like, let's actually take an insightful look at them and, give them a shot and just act like they are good movies and see what we can, learn from them or what enjoyment can we get out of them, even though they aren't technically good movies. And after a while, I just kind of felt like I was saying the same thing over and over about all the movies. Maybe I just needed to do different ones. And Pixels was going to be kind of a challenge because that movie's been a bit of a punching bag for a lot of movie critics out there. So I didn't really know what else I was going to say about it. But the thought has crossed my mind. I'm glad you enjoy them. And hopefully everybody, if you guys go to our YouTube channel, you can see all our podcasts as well as some other videos we make. But if you dig deep down in there, you can find all my movie reviews. I did quite a lot of them. There's like 10 or 12 of them up there. I was doing them one a week, but they were a lot of work, man. They were a lot of
Bobby's editing skills are fucking ridiculously good. You can see that in the DRG video that we did. You can see it in his whatever that game was, the Wave Survival game.
Killing Floor 2.
Yeah, Killing Floor 2. That dude, that was probably your magnum opus. But anyway, he doesn't do enough of it. But I wish he would. Quit your job and just do video editing, man.
I don't know, man. My fingers would kill me, dude. I'd get arthritis. Yeah, check out what was the popular one? Rampage. Check out the Rampage review. Everyone seems to like that one.
Yeah. Still haven't seen the movie though.
All right, next question from Sniper. Explain the Warcraft 3 map Pimp Your Peon and why it deserves a standalone game. Which one is Pimp Your Peon? Is that the one?
What are you talking about, man?
I'm sure we played this one. Is that the one where you go around and do the different board games? You do like, it's basically, I want to say like Smash Bros, but you do all the different mini games around the, you kill the peons and you get gold and pimp your peon.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know. Like an angel, like angel wings and fly. I have not played this one. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Great question, dude.
Yeah, you killed it. Oh, he's still typing. There you go.
I don't care.
I played 20 games of it with you. We played a lot of different games. And I've thought about going back and playing some of those, some of the custom games in Warcraft, because I still go back and I'm slowly working my way through the campaign on hard mode. But I don't know. I still enjoy just playing Melee, which is the base mode. So if you want to do it, man, if you want to play some custom maps, then let me know. All right. Now you guys are just typing ridiculousness. All right. That's it for listener questions, man.
See you play next week, Bobby.
So not going into work. I already sent that email out. So I got the whole week off, lots of free time. I don't know, man. You tell me, what am I playing next week?
Oh, you're watching Quest for Fire and you're watching Reign of Fire. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Yeah. Actually, they both have fire in the title.
Reign, like R-E, like a king's reign?
Yeah, a king's reign.
All right. 2002 with with McConaughey. Throwing that on the list right now. And all Quest for Fire. These better be good movies, man.
I'm not saying they're good.
Oh, 1981? Whoa, that's an old one. Quest for Fire?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I mean, what else am I going to be doing? But as far as games go, okay, so I came so close this week to playing XCOM 2. I really wanted a turn-based game again for some reason, even though I just finished, what was that other one with the duck and the pig, the anthropomorphic animals, the Mutant Year Zero. I guess it was back in March I played that, but I don't know. I've been aching for a turn-based game. So, and XCOM 2, man, like I bought that game when it came out, played 10 minutes of it, and was like over it. And I loved XCOM 1, and I don't know, I couldn't go back to it, but I always knew like one of these days, XCOM 2, like I'm going to do it. And I feel like that's coming up.
Dude, Gears Tactics, man, at least it's $5, dude. I played it for 2 hours today.
Mm-hmm. Like, move your mic up. You moved your mic down again. You're quiet. There
we go. I'm literally thinking about it as Game of the Year. Honestly, like I'm enjoying Gears Tactics
Gears
so
Tactics,
much.
Gears Tactics, $40.19.
But it's $5 on Game Pass.
Oh, on Game Pass. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus you get all the other cool stuff.
All right. It does look good.
Dude, it's so good. It's so good. It just moves it's action, 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 nonstop. And it has boss fights in it. Like I'm fighting right now. I'm on my fifth try against this gigantic dinosaur with missile launchers on its back. That's fucking awesome and super rewarding. Try it out. You got to try it out. It's so good.
Maybe I'll give that one a shot because I already have XCOM 2, man.
Listen, it's going to be on my running for Game of the Year. So like, it's good that you play it now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What if it's my Game of the Year, man? Like I don't have a lot of.
Then we'll have our Game of the Year. Then we'll have our Game of the Year. Boom.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, you said you were going to compile a list of like recent things that you've bought or played.
I've got to go look at past episodes and see like what games I've been playing. Yeah, I still got to do that, but I'm not in any rush. Near the end of the year, I'll do that.
Yeah.
All right. What are you playing this week?
More Gears Tactics. I want to finish that game. I have tons of fucking time. I got a few taxes that I've been putting off and stuff. I got to do some of that stuff, clean up this fucking house. But besides that, I should have a ton of time for gaming, hopefully. If not this week, definitely next week.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we can actually play some Gunfire Reborn. That's still popping off on the server, man. A lot of people playing that game. And I finally beat it, and I'm playing Elite Mode now, and they've been patching it pretty regularly too and fixing little bugs here and there that I've noticed. So it's getting better little by little. But yeah, man, I may even turn a little bit of that on tonight.
I'd also like you to try to play Tabs, man. I know you own it. I wanted you to get into it and just like try it out. I want to see if the formula works for you.
Okay.
Because I love it so much. Yeah. For myself, like I said, probably beat that game, something new. I don't know. I'll probably pick up some indie title or play more demos. Those demos are still out there for the large part.
A lot of them.
So speaking for Bobby and myself, COVID titties, everyone, don't suck on them. You'll get sick. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.